Listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Verse 611. The VBS children will begin with a few songs from VBS.
Thank you. They're also going to sing their song a little later, but they're going to stay in their seats. And they are going to be with you, and you will hear them sing the refrain very, very loudly.
I'm pretty sure.
So we're going to go to our regular service for this Sunday. And we rejoice in the power of our Lord for God's people. Let's begin with hymn 611. When the organist gets there, I'm hurrying her up. She had three things to do, so. While she's getting ready, I'll wait till she gives me a nod, but just for the announcements for today, please take time to sign our guest registers at the end of the pews. If you'd like to do that, we have a job opportunity for our school. Please consider that. Members, we got the fair to sign up for. All kinds of good things happening. Let's make sure that we take some time to do that. All right. We begin our worship with our first hymn. Hymn 611, Joyously I'll Praise My Savior. Joyously I'll Praise My Savior.
Thank you.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray.
God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with all our hearts, strengthen us in true faith, provide us with all that we need, and keep us safe in your care. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Over the last week, my wife found a vlog that she was interested in. A woman who had about 4 kids lost her husband to cancer, and a man who had 7 boys. The woman had 4 boys. He had 7 boys. Lost his wife to cancer as well, and they got together. And it's neat to see their attitude, because they are Christians, and that they did not like what happened, but they saw God's hand in it. And even though he brought them grief, he also brought them joy. And I see the same thing in our Lamentations text. As we think about the world, the sinful world in which we live, God allows difficult things to happen, and yet he makes them work out for our good. We read from Lamentations 3. By the mercies of the Lord, we are not consumed, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. My soul says, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good to hope quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bears a yoke early in his life. Let him sit alone and be silent, because the Lord has laid this upon him. Let him stick his face in the dust. Perhaps there still is hope. Let him turn his cheek toward the one who strikes him. Let him be filled with disgrace. For the Lord will not push us away forever. Even though he brings grief, he will show compassion on the basis of his great mercy. Certainly, it is not what his heart desires when he causes affliction, when he brings grief to the children of men. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We sing our psalm. You need to look in the Gray Psalter book. For some of our guests, please help them find the Gray Psalter book as opposed to our blue hymnal. And turn to page 149. I will praise you, Lord. Psalter 30b. There we go. Psalter 30b. This is Psalm 30.
I will.
Our second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. Here is where Christians are trying to be very realistic about who they are. To kind of channel a different pastor, we're crackpots, because we're going to hear about cracked pots in our reading today. In other words, we're not perfect, and yet we have the joy of knowing that God forgives us. There's a neat, we just redecorated, and we have cracked pots out in the parlor there, if you want to go take a look. We read, "We hold this treasure in clay jars, that its extraordinary power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, yet not despairing. Persecuted, yet not forsaken. Struck down, yet not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of our Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. To be sure, while we are living, we are continually being handed over to death because of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life is working in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, which corresponds to what is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken,' we also believe and therefore speak. For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us together with you into his presence. In fact, this is for your benefit, so that as grace increases, it will overflow to the glory of God as more and more people give thanks." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for our gospel acclamation. Our gospel lesson is found in Mark chapter 5. It's got selected verses. It kind of skips over the middle part here, which I'm going to refer to as I talk about it. But we'll read what we have here. "When Jesus had again crossed over in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him near the sea. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and repeatedly pleaded with him, 'My little daughter is near death. Please come and place your hands on her so that she may be healed and live.' Jesus went with him. While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue ruler's house arrived, saying, 'Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?' But when Jesus heard this report, he told the synagogue ruler, 'Don't be afraid, only believe.' And he did not allow anyone to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They went to the house of the synagogue ruler, and Jesus saw a commotion with people weeping and wailing loudly. When he entered, he said to them, 'Why are you making such a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' They laughed at him. But after he put everyone out, he took the father of the child, her mother, and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Grasping the hand of the child, he said to her, 'Talitha cum.' When translated, that means, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' Immediately, the little girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. They were completely and utterly amazed. Then he gave them strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We'll sing our next hymn, "Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me?" I pulled an audible on the having the kids come up and sing, and now I'm pulling an audible on my guy here. He's getting where I need him to go. Thank you, Ray. We're going to go back to the gospel lesson, and it's not going to be like a regular sermon. We're kind of do this more of a Bible class type of thing, and we're going to see how our Jesus, he treats each and every one of us exactly as we need to be treated. And it doesn't always feel good, as we'll see, but there are also times when it is exactly what we need to teach us to love God and to follow him. It starts with, of course, tragedy, which happens again and again in a sinful world. I'm sure you have your own in your own lives that were difficult to live with and things that you wish never did happen, but I hope you can see how Jesus can overcome them. Let me just read a couple of verses from our text. My little daughter is near death. Please come and place your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. Grasping the hand of the child, he said to her, Talitha kum. Then he gave them strict orders not to tell anyone about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. I want you to see this scene. The man in this story, Jairus, is in a bit of a hurry, you think? His 12-year-old daughter is dying, and he knows it. And Jesus stops on the way to his house and talks to another woman who had just been miraculously healed. She had such faith that she just touched his cloak, and it healed her. It was just amazing. Now put yourself, first of all, in Jairus' shoes. He's looking at his sundial on his wristwatch right there. Okay, that's supposed to be funny. Can't put a sundial on your wrist. But he wants to get home. He wants Jesus to come and heal his daughter. And Jesus takes all the time he needs, all the time the woman needs, to talk about what happened to her and how thoroughly she had been immediately healed. How would you feel? How difficult would that be for you? Let's just read the first bits of our text here. When Jesus had again crossed over in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him near the sea. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and repeatedly pleaded with him, "My little daughter is near death. Please come and place your hands on her so that she may be healed and live." First of all, I want you to notice who this is. This is the synagogue ruler. It's kind of like the pastor in some ways. And he would be faithfully, you know, encouraging the people in their faith along the way. And it was hard for him to go to Jesus. Jesus is at the height of his popularity, but among those in Jerusalem and those who were connected to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were not really happy with Jesus because all the people were flocking to him. And I imagine the synagogue ruler was much in the same place. They're flocking to Jesus when he's down by the lake, but they don't come every Sunday to church, to synagogue. And after he begs, he gets on his, he humbles himself, and he begs this Jesus, who he doesn't even want to be associated with, and says, "Come to my house and help my daughter," because he knows what Jesus has done, right? And then the other woman comes in, she touches his cloak, and Jesus stops and says, "Someone touched my cloak." The disciples, "What? You got a crowd around you. How do you know who touched your cloak? Five people are touching your cloak." He says, "No, power went out from me. I know someone was healed." He wanted this lady to know that she hadn't stolen power from him, didn't want her to think that God didn't know what he was doing when he cured her of her disease. And he takes the time to talk to her. Now think about this. She had an illness that kept her away from synagogue for 12 years. Now put yourself in the synagogue ruler's shoes again. 12 years. This girl hadn't been coming to church. You can see him being super superior. Oh my goodness, and now he's spending the time with this woman? Right? But Jesus gives her all the time in the world. Now I'm probably going to get in trouble with this, but those of us who are husbands know that when your wife wants to explain something to you, you've got to listen to every detail. Right, gentlemen? And sometimes that's longer than you're patient for. Right, ladies? Is that true? Am I right? I see a few smiles. And I don't imagine it was any different for this woman. She had just had an emotional experience, and what she had been trying to cure for 12 years, she knew was done. And you can imagine how she said, I went to this doctor, and he didn't do very well. Went to that doctor, oh, he did not have a bedside manner, but I started to get a little better. And then he went on the third and the fourth and went through the whole thing. And I just touched your cloak, and I knew I was healed. Right? Where's Jairus? Sometimes like your husbands, right, ladies? You know, tapping his foot, a little impatient. Here's where we see that God is treating each exactly as he needs to. Am I right? She needed someone to tell about this. And Jesus was willing to listen. Guys, learn a lesson. I'm picking on you a little bit. But also, he was treating Jairus exactly the way he needed to be treated. He needed to learn, a little bit of humility. And he also needed to learn patience. He also needed to learn a little bit of charity for that woman. Because look what Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And then comes the announcement. Then comes the messengers, right? And they come to Jesus and they say, or they came to the Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. Oh, boy, oh boy, that must have hurt, right? I don't know if that's happened to anybody here, but wow. You can't imagine the grief. I can't. You know? Hard enough when your parents go, but when your child, man. And you can imagine how difficult it was, right? Not something that we could speak to. But look what Jesus says. He says, well, what does it say there? Does it say there? Don't be afraid. Only believe. So he's, oh, let's just say a mile from his home. Can you imagine every step? How hard that was to do? You know, stopping in grief along the way. Maybe running for a little bit here, a little bit there. Just believe. This is the way that God gives us blessings. He gives it to us through faith, through believing. It's a gift. It's something that God gives us. And it's always exactly what we need. And that's quite a statement when you think that God gave him the death of his child. It was important for him to be shaken up so that he wouldn't follow all the people who didn't like Jesus, who didn't know Jesus, who were judging him from afar, who weren't willing to listen to him, right? And that he would have his own opinion at the end of this. Right? Don't be afraid, only believe. So they take the 20 minutes to get to the house, and it probably took a little longer because the crowd seemed to follow Jesus wherever he went. And he said, no, only Peter, James, and John are coming in with me. He gets in. And the normal type of things are happening. You got to understand this wailing and crying. In that region of the world, if someone died in a family, they would need to bury that body that day. It was just too warm, too hot to leave it for the next day. And they didn't have the benefits that we have in the way we do funerals. And so there he was, you know, they were getting ready. And it didn't matter where the relatives were.
And that's why they had professional mourners. They would hire someone to come and set the mood. And there they are, mourning away. And he says, why all this mourning and wailing? She's not dead, just asleep. He hadn't been there. He hadn't been a doctor, right? What would you say? Think about how talking to Jairus would have heard this. Is that polite to tell him, no, she's just asleep, right? A little impertinent, too. And it was so funny to these people that they stopped crying and started laughing. But this is exactly what Jesus needed to happen for these people to see what Jesus did. So now, the child is not dead, but sleeping. He gets everybody out of the room. He pushes them all out. Yep, you're in the right place, right? Just the father, the mother, three gentlemen. Well, four gentlemen, Jesus too. Would they have known that she was really dead? Even in that day and age, they recognized a lot of the signs. Getting a little bit morbid here, but she would have become pale, right? And the blood would have gone to her back if she was laying down, okay? And she'd gotten cold, even in the short time. You would notice the difference in the hands. They knew. And Jesus walks over and just grabs onto her hand and says, oh, let's stop a second. Who's he going to talk to? If she's dead, is she going to hear it? I don't think so. Who was he really talking to? He was talking to the disciples. He was talking to the parents. He was talking to us way down in time. And he just said, Talitha kum, get up, little girl. What is Jesus demonstrating? Jesus is demonstrating that he has power over life and death. We had kind of an Easter song that today that just talked about Jesus rose from the dead. That's the heart of our hope and our faith. And this isn't some myth. It happened in too short a time and was written down by witnesses. These kind of witnesses would stand up in court. There was a guy who was a lawyer who wrote a book about that. Too many witnesses who saw exactly what needed to be seen. They saw that he died, but they also saw that he rose from the dead. Our God has power over life and death. And isn't that our greatest fear? Isn't that our greatest problem? What a joy to know that Jesus can just say, Talitha kum, and we will rise. What power in his word. What power the word has. What a wonderful gift that God gives us. Where are you in your life? What kind of difficulties are you facing? Where is the problem? Oh, I'm sure, you know, there's the finances and the house needs fixing and this, that, and the other, and there's, oh, a list a mile long. Oh. But in the end, God fixes the biggest problem, doesn't he? And we see that in Christ Jesus. They were completely and utterly amazed. Then this last sentence is probably a very interesting one. Do you have that last one up? There we go. Then he gave them strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Now, there probably could have been a variety of reasons to say that. The give her something to eat thing was just something that's... I don't necessarily think the parents would have neglected to feed their daughter. And she probably hadn't had much food over the last week. But nonetheless, that first part, don't tell anyone about this. Jesus had already given them a little way to talk about it. Hey, she fell asleep, and it was a really deep one, you know. But they knew. They knew what really happened. Why in the world would he do this for the synagogue ruler? Why in the world would he do this for this family? Well, he knew he needed people among the Pharisees and among the Sadducees to tell them at the appropriate time how God had power over life and death. And he didn't want them to be disillusioned by becoming the enemy of those folks in the meantime. They would be under enough suspicion at this point anyway. Jesus was saving them a lot of angst and a lot of trouble if they just waited to tell it an appropriate time. Think about that. How Jesus is dealing with Jairus exactly where he needs to be and exactly where Jesus needs him to be. That Jesus needs him to recognize that he can preach about the one who raises people from the dead. Because that's our hope. Because that's our joy. Because that's what our faith is based on. And that's what we hope for. One more neat little coincidence. I don't know if you noticed it as I talked about it. And again, it was only in the one part of the reading. The little girl was 12 years old. In the middle part, which we didn't read, tells us that the woman was suffering for exactly 12 years. God had set this all up years before and allowed some long-term suffering for the woman whose faith was strong. And for the man who needed to be taught a lesson, it was something rather relatively short. But boy, was it desperate, right? I speak to especially my members here and help you to recognize, yeah, good things don't always happen to good people. And yet God has it in control. And although we might go through a roller coaster in the years that we suffer, yet our God is the one who will carry us through. He promised it in Christ Jesus. And he gives us the ultimate promise. He says, you have salvation in me. You have heaven by my promise. You have the forgiveness of sins because I gave up my life for you. What an amazing reading this is. Please remember as you go home how much Jesus deals with you exactly where you are. And maybe take a look at some of the things in your life. And do yourself a favor. Look to the one who owns life and death. Amen. We continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please rise, and we will read the words that are there.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for our prayer of the church. Our offering is at the door for our members. We continue with our worship with our prayers. Heavenly Father, you have given us life at our creation and through the blessing of mothers and fathers. Lord God, thank you for the life that you have given. We live in a sinful world, and you know it better than we do. Lord God, protect us from the evil that is around us. And when difficult times come, be there. Send your angels to watch over us. Strengthen us by your word. Help us to prepare for those difficult times by knowing your word even better. Lord God, also bless us as we see your grace and mercy in the resurrection that you provide and that you have promised for us in the future. Strengthen us to that knowledge and understanding, and keep us in that faith until we join you in glory. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, and I hope to hear the kids sing loudly. This is the one they helped us with, or will help us with. They will sing the refrain very loudly. The song is, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." I'd like you all to sing every verse, even if the screen says something different. There we go. Yep. We're going to sing, yeah, we're going to sing all four verses. Please rise for our prayers. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. In your name we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn, hymn 751. O God, your hand the heavens made.
This evening worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. Cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. This broadcast was made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments can be addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street in Baraboo, Wisconsin. The television producer today is Don Harmon. This is Cindy Allen. And may God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.